Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
I'm wearing green. I actually was wearing green unironically on Saturday, and obviously Charleston's like really known for like food and drinking and all that shit. So I, you know, I fit in really well in the culture down here. But everyone was doing like their pub crawls, and like everyone's dressed up like St. Patty's, and I like looked and I was like wearing this green bra again, and I was like, oh, this is unintentional. But like, I don't know what the fuck happened. So like, Eric and I usually try to go downtown at least like once a week just to have like a date or whatever. And I don't know if I just looked super fucking friendly and approachable, but like everyone wanted to talk to me, like complete fucking strangers. They were asking me about like my cup kisses. They were complimenting like my nose. Like they just wanted to talk to Ash Markham. And I was like, y'all, I am not that cool. Like,
dude, it's actually funny that you say that because like last night I was sitting on the couch and I was like, you know, I don't know what it is, but like people have just been like talking to me a lot and I feel like I'm not an approachable person. And Alex was like, you're not. And I was like, rude. Okay. But I know that, but I don't know what's in the energy. Maybe people just want to talk to Ashes. Like they're just like, hey, that.
No, theory. Eric was like, people want to talk to attractive people. Because when you're attractive and you're confident, your aura, you glow different. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, I looked good. Like I don't wear makeup or anything. Like that's not my thing. But like I looked good and I just owned however I looked, and people will notice that. So like with you like wearing your cute outfits and like embracing your MILF energy, like that's attractive.
Oh my God, that's so funny that you say it. Like I know you don't wear makeup or whatever, but so I don't either, right? Like, I'm just like, okay, like one, I don't know how to do it. Two, it just like doesn't feel good. Yeah, it doesn't feel good on my face. I don't like having to wash, like scrub my face at the end of the day. Like, yeah, I do a quick wash or whatever if I'm lucky. But I wore makeup when we were in Hawaii and Alex is like, why are you doing that? Oh, you
Eric
don't.
Is the same way. He's like, why are you doing? I was like, oh, I wanted to be cute, but I guess I'm not.
I was like, well, does it look bad? He's like, well, it doesn't look bad, but like, I don't like it. I was like, oh, because I just spent all this time doing this and I thought like you were going to be like, wow, babe, you look great. So, I mean, in turn, like, yeah, it kind of stings, but then I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not fucking doing this. I don't even really like doing this. I was just going to try a little bit harder because like, I love you and, you know, whatever, but.
Yeah. No, I think that's so funny. Eric and I like we'll just like have these like random ass conversations, kind of like you and Alex do, where he's like, honestly, sweetheart, you're an effortless eight. He's like, you spring out of bed and you're just an effortless eight. And I was like, you know what? I would rather be an effortless eight like year round and not have to like do my makeup or do anything else like high maintenance and just ride that. Like that works for me. But like the only time I wear makeup is either like duh on show day, which is obviously like over the top, or it's like maybe for a super special event. But even then, like when Eric and I like had our anniversary, whatever, like the most I will do is just wear tinted moisturizer because I do that almost every day anyway to protect my skin. But it's like as far as like mascara and shit, like it's like from 2014. I'm like, I probably shouldn't be using this.
I don't like wearing mascara because I definitely just don't like how it feels and like comes off. Like even if I use waterproof, like it's just not it. Like, it's just not my fucking jam. But I do miss like having my eyelashes done, but that's like zero maintenance for me because I just lay there, get them done, and I don't have to do anything but like brush them out. So we'll see. But yeah, I love that you went out for St. Patty's Day. I avoid that at all costs. It used to be like one of my favorite holidays, and it kind of still is one of my favorite holidays, but for a different reason, because actually today somehow ended up being Alex and mine's anniversary. So here we
are.
5 years,
right?
Yeah, 5 years later. 5 years later, we live together, an unplanned baby, and life is great. I got no fucking complaints.
I love that.
It's good. It's all right. But yeah, like that's pretty much it for my week. I think we actually might go out to dinner later in the week. Obviously, I work today and he just got a call for some SWAT thing. So
I will love that for him.
Someone's being crazy on St. Patty's Day and doing something wild.
Shocker.
I know. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But whatever. I'm really, 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 really excited about our topic today. Like, absolutely excited. And it
Dude, I feel like
actually.
our the Ashes like 3 or 4 years ago needed this podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. I'm gonna pull up the notes right now, but it's so insane because like I don't know. And maybe it's just because like I've adapted and have grown up a lot. Like, and I don't see it much. And maybe it's just like my algorithm is different now because I don't really have people that I follow that do this anymore. And the people that I did, like I just took a step back from it. But oh my God, this was me and you years ago, like to a T, to a fucking T. And like, so the reason that this came was because Ash and I saw it on Instagram, right? Like people were posting about this and it's.
Constantly, like it's not even just like it was just it's so many women were just like this is just another day in their life, like they're sharing their life, and it's just rooted in this idea of self-neglect, but it being hardcore. And I'm like, you like it's just it one, it angers me because I used to do this shit, right? So it's like kind of just like that personal reflection. But then two, it's like, when is enough enough? Like, when are we gonna stop being jackasses to ourselves and promoting that as health and fitness?
And honestly, like it's toxic. It is so toxic because of the fact that, like, it's like, oh yeah, this is so hardcore, but like mentally, it also fucks you too. Because, like, if you're in the same community and I was the same way when I first started bodybuilding, like, if I wasn't as hardcore as the next bikini girl, I felt like I was less than. So it made me want to do even more and it made me destroy myself even more. And look where I'm at now. Like I have an autoimmune disorder. I was doing these things that neglected self-care, good health, good healthy habits and practices, and it led me to this point. And I get so frustrated seeing this because one, people don't believe me. They think I'm fucking horse shit when I talk about it, and I'm like, you need to back down. You are not going to get a fucking medal at all for treating yourself like shit. Like you're not like what are you trying to prove? And I don't know, like for me, like bragging about that gave me a sense of like, I don't even know the right word because like it like didn't make me feel good, but for some reason I felt proud
It
that I
was like
was,
this fucked up validation. Yeah, where you
yeah.
were doing like what you thought was like the right thing, and other people needed to listen the fuck up because you had something to say. When in reality, like you were just screaming. You were not saying anything worth listening to. You were just screaming. And because you were loud, like you felt entitled. Because that's how at least I felt.
Yeah, no, that's really spot on. Like, you know, you're like I'm sitting there like a perfect example of this guys is like, and this is the one that Ash and I actually talked about over this weekend. And I used to do this all the fucking time. I remember posting about it, telling my friends about it. It's like, oh my, and I worked night shift, so it made it really easy for me to do this too. It's like, wow, I've been up since I went to work yesterday at 5 p.m. at night, worked a 13-hour shift all night. Then I got off. Then I went to the gym. Then I did X, Y, and Z. I was like going like almost like 40 hours without sleeping, training on top of that, dieting. You know, my macros were like, you know, sub, you know, 1300 calories for weeks, you know, 2 hours of cardio, X, Y, and Z. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm fucking badass. But like, I felt like shit. Like, I felt like garbage. And then you just ignore all of those red flags that come with it. But like I was definitely in that point of like I'm fucking exhausted mentally and physically, but I'm gonna keep pushing because apparently this is one the right thing to do if you're a bodybuilder and it makes you look cool. You have that validation. Like you feel like you're better than people. I don't know what I was trying to measure, but like it is not cute. It is not fucking cute to do that to your body.
It's not like literally, I was just thinking about like, what did hardcore get you? It got you Hashimoto's and it got me HRT before I'm 30.
That
That's like that's the fucking reality, dude. And like, of course, we look back and it's like, oh, we mourn because we wish we would have done things differently. But at the same time, it's like there is that glorification of self-neglect where it's like, especially as female athletes, especially when we're inundated at such a young age to be small and look a certain way or act a certain way, behave a certain way, And we like want to mold ourselves into this little perfect box with a little cute little bow on top. It's nice and pink and frilly. And it's like, in reality, it's like when you are living in an inauthentic way and you are a part of hustle culture gets you to the point where your body is starting to self-destruct. Like, again, how many times have we talked about the bill coming due? Well, the bill came due for Ash. She has now an autoimmune disorder. The bill came due for this Ash. I have to use HRT before I'm fucking 30 years old because I was so negligent with how I treated my body and treated my mind for so long. And yes, the body is absolutely resilient up until a fucking point. And then the system is going to start to break, right? And we have to own our actions. But at the same time, we've also grown from them to where it is no longer about glorifying self-neglect. And that's something that we are big on with our clients and our athletes because, like, the mentality of hustle and, you know, this just, again, just over-glorification of self-neglect, like, it leads to burnout, it leads to injuries, it leads to poor long-term health outcomes, it leads to disease, it leads to the fact that, like, you think that you are doing such a good job when in reality, like, let's take a step back here, especially moms. Moms, I want you to listen to me. Think of all the dumb shit you have said. Like, Ash, what did Ash just say? She said she didn't sleep for 40 hours. She likely was, you know, she wasn't eating, right? And granted, this was a contest prep, so it was an extreme thing. But let's just say if you're just, you know, a mom on the street, right? And you are likely eating 900 calories, you're likely going off 3 hours of sleep. Imagine if you heard your child, "Oh, mom, I haven't slept for 40 hours and I've only eaten 900 calories." Would you say, "Oh, good job, sweetie, you're taking care of yourself," or would you be embarrassed? And you know what would happen? Fucking child services would be called on your neglectful ass for allowing your kid to neglect themselves like that. So
But yeah,
why is it okay? What?
I was gonna say, like, what makes you the exception? Why?
Exactly. So what makes you the fucking exception? Nothing. Except the fact that you're now setting a horrible fucking example for your daughter. Like,
I'm
that
like,
is the power of your actions.
yeah. And kids notice that shit. Oh
Dude.
my God. I see it every day. My kid picks up on so much shit that I do. So I am like, so this is just like a perfect example. So I'm like a screamer and like a happy dancer in my house, right? Like I just like yell and I'm just like very loud, very vocal. Like I like to stomp my little feet. I'm just like, I get all excited. I like
You're
jump
a
on my
dinosaur, essentially.
literally. Yeah. And the last couple months, like AJ started doing it. Like when he gets fucking happy. Yeah, it's cute, but I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna have so many problems when you go to school and you're like and you're like fucking so happy they got a yellow crayon. He's just like, you can't fucking yell. And I'm like, well, I yell at home when I get it, like, you know, a yellow crayon. So, you know, but it's like that learned behavior because they're seeing you, they want to be you, they don't know. They literally don't know. Their brains are developing. So like you having that intention of always like self-neglect and destroying yourself as and seeing that as like an achievement or an accomplishment or you know, it's self-satisfying in a way. Your kid's gonna pick up on that. And it may not come from, you know, oh, like overworking in like the fitness industry or like doing a bunch of cardio, not eating. It may, you know, manifest in another way that is also self-destructive and actually not beneficial to their health. But your kids will pick up on that. And that is something that is huge. And if you're listening to this and you are a parent, you are a mom, and it's like, oh, like I hope something clicks in your brain where you're just like, if you're someone that's doing this, you're like, wow, like one thing I know as a mom, and I'm sure a lot of you do, is like my biggest thing is like, I want to be a good example. It drives
Good
me.
role model,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Because I want my kid to learn good things from me. And what I was doing before with neglecting sleep, neglecting nutrition, hydration, not taking rest days. And this doesn't just include that, it also includes like work too. Because, you know, I think a lot of bodybuilders get caught up in anything. Anything that is like overdrive, overproductive, right? So, with that being said, it comes at that cost that Ash was talking about, and it straight up is just poor neglect, even though we do not view it as neglect.
And
We
maybe we should. Maybe that's why, because we view it as a
do.
badge of honor.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that it's like a badge of honor. It's like, oh my God, great job. And I used to be that person that would like light the fire under my friends' asses too and be like, oh yeah, you trained really hard today. You went back to the gym and did more cardio. Fuck yeah, like so did I. Like hyping each other up over that, and that's not okay. And like now, like when I see girls on Instagram doing that shit, it's like, okay, full day of eating, like diet phase, and your entire day of eating is like leafy greens for five meals and maybe like a blueberry, and that's it. And you're like, okay, sweet. Like, I'm like, girl, like, what are you doing? Like, I will call people out, be like, you know, this isn't good. Like, what's your goal? Like, where are you at? Like, you know, and like, again, people follow people, right? So, like, if you're doing this and you're promoting this and it's not actually good for you in a way, like, at the core basics of like being just good, like, I'm gonna call you out on your fucking shit. And I don't care because one, I care about you. And two, I care about the people that are following you too. Because, like you said, you're gonna end up like one of us with an autoimmune, with, you know, HRT, like sex hormone dysregulation, or I mean, really bad mental health. I mean, that
Yep.
comes with doing that shit.
Usually a combination of the
But like, people don't realize that too. It's like, when you're burning the thing at both ends and like neglecting basic needs of sleep, nutrition, water, or hydration, however you want to look at it, regulating stress, your mental health gets so bad. So bad. Like mine was terrible. Like I had horrible, like chest crippling anxiety when I was, you know, full on pushing myself to the limits and thinking that this was the greatest thing ever. And now I don't do any of that fucking shit. And I have like the most clarity there ever is in my mind. Yeah, sure, I still have anxiety and stress. Everyone does, but it's not to the degree of that. And I also don't feel the need to go like destroy myself or neglect myself even more when I am stressed.
Exactly. There's this. I want to be careful with the word balance because that sounds, you know, it just that word is just so floofy nowadays. But hardcore athletes and hardcore coaches understand the importance of recovery and, you know, proper nutrition, rest, and mental health. They understand and they respect the full picture, which is why, like, we do encourage hard fucking training that's effective because that's how we get to our physique goals. And it's not that you shouldn't push yourself in the gym. It's not that you shouldn't want better for yourself or demand personal excellence, but it is understanding control of resources, right? Things that deplete and things that nourish. And that is the balancing act of the scales. And if you are constantly depleting and not nourishing, that system is going to break. And the other, you know, standpoint, if you're not pushing yourself enough in terms of depletions and you're overnourishing, you know, that has its own complications and issues. So when it comes to like understanding truth strength, that just doesn't happen. That's intentional. It's intentional through your actions, and it's coming from a place of self-awareness and understanding that like it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of building yourself up. Because how can you build yourself up and want better for yourself and create better for yourself when you're constantly cutting yourself down? And that holds true of how you're speaking to yourself, like those internal th thoughts and dialogues, how you treat your body in and out of the gym, how you treat, you know, relationships. It's like you can't grow to become a better person when you don't have the resources to do so. Like it doesn't make sense. And that's how you start to see yourself become less and literally become a smaller, worse individual. And that bleeds into all other areas of your life, not just like your health and fitness goals.
No, exactly. And as you're like saying this, this is what I'm thinking. Like, oh man. And I learned this over the years and I didn't even realize it. Like, yes, you know, as coaches, like, and as athletes, like, we want to train hard. We want you guys training hard. But something that I learned is like, as hard as I train, that's as hard as I need to recover, you know? And like, you don't think about that. You're like, ah, I just got to train harder. I just got to train harder. And I think that's like what a mature athlete, you know, comes to. And it's like they understand the importance of that recovery and rest, or like you said, the renourishing when it is depleted. So like obviously training, when you're training that hard, like everything is fucking depleted. But like in order for you to be able to one, train hard again, build the physique that you want, like you have to replenish. It goes back to that basic saying of, you know, filling your cup up because then you need to pour it out, right? So you literally cannot pour from an empty fucking cup. And that's what happens when you're wearing this badge of honor, when you're pushing yourself to be hardcore past your breaking point. Your pitcher is fucking empty, dude. It's so fucking empty. And at that point, like, you have nothing to pour. And it's not like you're pouring into other people. You can't even pour into your fucking self at this point anymore.
Is the
So
pitcher done broke? Like, that's what happened. The pitcher broke.
it's seriously, it broke. And then it's never going to be the fucking same. You can glue all of those fucking pieces back together. And that's me and Ash right now. Yes, we're glued back together, but we are never going to be the same. I will have this autoimmune the rest of my life. Ash will, more than likely be on HRT the rest of her life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you get to that point where the pitcher fucking breaks, like, and you have no one else to blame but yourself,
Yeah.
and some of it does come from lack of education and things like that. That sucks. Like, that's the reality of it, right? Like, people, they just don't know. But, or they could be guided in the wrong way by a coach who doesn't know. And that's, scary and sad all at the same time. And I do want to, touch base here on female specific, because we often deal, I think, a lot more than men do. Correct me if I'm wrong, and someone probably listening to this may differ from me, but I think
All
that there
the males that listen to our podcast.
I think there is like a lot of like external pressure for us to look a certain way, be a certain way, train a certain way, eat a certain way. Like, I think there's so many, like, I don't want to say like stipulations, but there's a box for women and everyone tries to
A
fit in.
checklist almost. Like, if you feel like in order to be a woman, you have to look like this and do these things.
Like, women shouldn't eat over, 1500 calories if you want to maintain this really small shape. Like, fucking eat cat piss,
Dude,
dude.
my
Like,
left tit eats more calories than that.
really, literally. Like, but like, we don't know that. And it looks cool when you're eating less. Or, like I said, it looks hardcore because everyone else around you is just stuffing their face or not, or just sitting on the couch watching Netflix while you're out training. And I actually thought about this the other day too, is like, why is it so hard for people just to get up and walk?
I
So,
mean, there's
but
just like, yeah, there's so many problems, but like in at least American society, because like there are some cultures in like Africa where it's like their idea of what a beautiful woman is not like obesity, but by our standards, like they're like, oh, you're fucking fat. But like that's their idea of beautiful, because a voluptuous woman with curves is, fertile. Like she is the mother, she's the matriarch, she is power, she is strength. But in American society, you're fat, you're lazy, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're not capable. But then on the opposite end, it's like if you're stick thin, then oh, you're malnourished, you're skinny, you're gross, you're anorexic, you're a skeleton. It's like,
what is
here's
it?
the, yeah, like you can't fucking win, because here's the idea, is you are chasing someone's validation that is not your own. And like that is like a big core principle where it's like you're never gonna feel like enough, and you're gonna constantly beat yourself down to please other people when fuck that. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't accept constructive feedback and constructive criticism from like people that actually give a shit about you, but that's where it's on you to understand like who is worth giving a shit about and making sure that you are in that position to give a shit about yourself. And it does take a lot of self-awareness and reflection. And it's really difficult. Like, I'm not gonna, sit here and be like, oh, it's super easy to like not give a shit. But it's like at the end of the day, it's like you only get this one life. And so if you want to live as long and as healthy as possible, that needs to include taking care of your physical body and your physical mind, right? Like, it's essential for your well-being. It is an obligation. Especially as female athletes, if you want to perform at a higher standard, if you want to compete at a higher standard, then you need to learn to elevate, not restrict, not cut down, right? Because at the end of the day, like, not only is like bragging about pushing through like all this like negative like biofeedback bullshit where it's like, oh, I haven't eaten, I've only eaten 1200 calories, I haven't slept, in 30 hours, oh, my, breakfast is a Starbucks frappuccino, like. The idea of bragging about pushing through like the pain without taking care of yourself isn't hardcore. It's harmful, right? And like Ash and I are great examples of it. So it's like getting your brain to recognize these toxic tendencies and then understanding how can we start to rewire the brain to, instead of being harmful, being productive.
And like, that's the problem though right now too with like social media and stuff, is like those things that like are nourishing and healthy and supportive are not sexy, are not glorified. Like, they're not, like, you're not gonna see, like, if I posted like a picture of me like, okay, like cool. Like, I'm just like resting, chilling on the couch. Like, people are gonna have that thought, like, oh, like you're just lazy, you're not doing anything. But like, long behold, you don't know that I just had like a 2 hour fucking leg day the day before, and my CNS is fried. But like, that's the thing. Like, those things aren't sexy. Those things aren't glorified. Those aren't gonna turn people's heads as if it's like, oh, I'm up for 30 hours. Oh, well, why are you up for 30 hours? Like, why do you? Oh, okay. Like things like that seem extreme are what grabs people's attention, right? Like, we're always seeking that, and like that excitatory or I guess you could call it maybe like a dopamine hit. I don't know. But like the things like that nourish your body and support your health, like, are not sexy, are not glamorous. Like, the quote unquote like basics of health aren't appealing to people. They're not. And I think we get into that all or nothing mindset.
Do
And
you know
like,
why they're not appealing to people?
tell me.
It's because they don't understand the reward of it. Because they see the extremes, like you said, the excitation of extremes, and think that's the secret that they're missing.
I think like too, it's because like though, yeah, no, you're right, you're right. But like also too, like people, one, don't know how to like sit still and relax. It takes longer. Does that make sense? Like, when I used to have rest days, like, so I went from 6 days of training down to four, when I switched coaches, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like, on my 3 days off, I didn't like it. I was like, I need to do something. I'm itchy. I need to do like an active rest day. I need to have 15,000 steps. I don't like this. I'm up all night. Like, oh, I needed something. And now here I am, years later. I'm like, I cannot wait till Thursday. I ain't gonna look at my fucking phone. I just want to rest. I want to do nothing. But like, it took me weeks and time to understand like those Thursdays are the best thing for me, because it is all about filling my cup back up, nourishing, replenishing, allowing myself mentally, physically, emotionally to do what I need, so then I can push myself, but to give myself that grace for that day. Because if I didn't understand the importance of that, like, I would still be running myself into the ground, and I wouldn't look or feel good, and I probably wouldn't have been able, I guarantee you, I know this for a fact, I would never survive another prep if I didn't change my shit around. My body would not respond. Like, I would probably look so inflamed, I wouldn't perform well, and I would be miserable.
Yeah, I think it's so important to have strong female leaders in these higher level positions. And I'm not talking about just coaches. I mean like moms, right? Because you are in a powerful leadership position, whether you recognize it or not, especially if you're a mom to a little girl. Now, I'm not saying that like as Ash is a mom to her son AJ, that like she's not in a position of power. No, she absolutely is. But since this is primarily like a female-centered podcast where we are listening and speaking to female athletes, like when you're in such a high level position where people want to emulate you, like that's why I take my actions so much more seriously now as a coach, because I can't like sit here and expect my athletes to eat a bunch of, colors and to, spend quality time with their family if I'm eating shit. If I'm overtraining, if I'm neglecting my marriage, if I'm neglecting, my house, it's like I firmly believe that in order to be good to others, we first must be good to ourselves. And like that is something that I, pray before meals, especially like my first meal of the day, because like that is how I start my intention. So some people do gratitudes, whatever, like some spiritual religious component I do think is important. So that way you have like a frame of reference when it comes to like connecting with, like I said, either, spirit, religion, earth, the
Some
universe,
higher power, yeah.
something, right? Something higher than yourself. It is important to understand the importance of that power, because you cannot like receive better and receive goodness if you're not first putting it out. You know what I'm saying? And
Oh, if you're not open to it, yeah, there's no fucking way.
I mean, well, I think the thing is like people are, it's not that they're not open. They don't understand what they give off is like a magnet. Right. So people like want to receive all of this, but they don't even know how to give it off first.
Dude, I know. And the best thing I can tell you guys, though, like, when you realize this, is like, if you change something in your life or habits, and like you start to lose friends because of it, that is a perfect example of like you putting something out there and getting something, like, I don't want to say like healthy in return, but like it's showing you that like whatever you were doing before, including like your friends and stuff like that, is not beneficial. You're stepping into like a higher power, a higher self, so to speak, and you're putting that out there in the universe, and it's rewarding you in return, whether that is like, ditching old friends or getting a new body weight on the scale that's coming down, feeling good, sleeping better, getting a new relationship. But like, if you sit in the same negative mindset, you're going to be in the same negative place that you are.
Absolutely. And I do think it is just so important that, like, as female athletes, we need to have the power to set a new standard for ourselves that, like, values, like, being hardcore through taking care of yourself,
Yeah.
right? Like, through it, not like in spite of it, not instead of it. Like, it, like, why not it be hardcore to take care of yourself? Because people don't take care of themselves, right? So that's not hardcore. That's the norm. So why don't we flip the script of, oh, hey, I'm going to push myself in the gym because I've slept well, because I have nourished my body, because I have maintained my a good water intake, where when I demand more from myself in the gym, my body's going to be able to step up to the plate, right?
Yeah.
And even outside of the gym, like any other areas of your life where it demands that you step up, like your body can only step up when there are resources to do so, right? So, like, again, bragging about self-neglect, like, that is silly. That is so silly. You are not being good to yourself. So how can you expect others to be good to you? How can you expect your daughters, your sons to be good to themselves when you are being the exact opposite of, maybe what you are preaching? So, like, regardless of who you are or where you're at or your position of power, your position of leadership, it first starts with you. Like, understanding that your truth strength is going to come from your actions of being consistent, understanding that your health is your responsibility, listening to your body's needs. Now, that's not to say that, oh, my body's telling me I need to eat a Big Mac. No. Like, again, we can't use what your body needs for self-justification of a different type of self-neglect because it happens on both spectrums.
Yeah, no, and that's so true because people will be like, yeah, I'm just trying to like listen to my body and it's
My
like,
body says I need a Frosty today.
bro, I know I had this like conversation about like the whole like body positivity thing too, and I think it's great when you love your body and love yourself and love your well-being. That goes a very long way. But it's very hard for me to wrap around the fact that like maybe you do love yourself, but at 400 pounds, like that comes with health complications and like you need to address that as well. So like obviously like with that just being said though, it's like you have to find like that balance, which I kind of hate that word now too. We need to like think of a different word.
I know it's like it's not bad. I'm just trying to think like the yin yang type of thing where
Yeah.
it's like it's a well-rounded, like I want to think of a circle, like a sphere that's round, not just like a scale to be balanced, like because it should be all-encompassing, right? Because like that to me is like seeing the full picture. And so like I like to use like the life as a pie chart where it's like
Yeah.
certain percentages get different things because to me circles are balanced. Right. But like the idea of like, oh, what matters more? Right. The what matters more, nutrition or training? It's like you're missing the fucking point. They both matter in the context of your life, in the sphere of your life. But I'm also like really like obsessed with Lion King and the whole circle of life deal. So like
Yeah.
I'm a little biased.
No, I think that's good. Lion King's one of my favorite movies, but yeah.
So good. So
I don't know. It makes a lot of sense. And I just like really hope that like with where we're at now and a lot of female coaches getting bigger in the industry and a lot of the ones that I follow and you follow and we're in sync with, like we are kind of changing this industry to, have that circle of life, that all-encompassing to make that change now with us in our generation. So then our generation below us that, we are having girls, we are having females, or even, sons too. Like it'll just be a huge different, revelation for them and the way that they grow up. 'Cause I do think that like our society where in our grow up or our time growing up, well, I can't talk today. It was a really big push for like female boss, right? Like really, really big high to be like, oh, like run your own business as a female, which is great and it's fun and it's good things if you want to do that, but like not at the expense of like ruining your health over it. Like every like female independence was huge. Like it felt like you said, like you got a badge of honor for destroying yourself. And now it's like, if you go and look at that pie chart and it's like, what really is important? And it comes from like, what's important to you, but like also what's important, you know, health wise, mental health wise, family wise, all of these other encompassing factors here. And like, that's where we need to start, is it's not just like the whole circle, the whole pie chart, like can't just be filled with fit, like physical activity, because that's where Ash and I were years ago. Like it was just, you know, 20,000 steps a day, all this cardio and dieting. And like, that was our whole pie chart. And we were very, very miserable at that point. And now it's like, there's just different colors or different pieces, different percentages now. And that's why we are so successful in all aspects of our life. We did try to get that badge of honor, but that badge of honor was not, we were not rewarded in the way that we thought we were. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's less of like a badge of honor and more like maybe like a pink slip or like a ticket. Like something where it's like later it is to be owed. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like
That's good.
yeah, it's like something where it's like, okay, well, this is your reward for your actions. And the reward was not positive. It was
Yeah.
very negative. Our health suffered, our, you know, relationships suffered, our lives suffered. We were in essentially this like never-ending Ferris wheel or merry-go-round of suffering, and we felt entitled because of it. Because look at us, we get to suffer more. And again, it goes back to the glorification of self-neglect. And in order for us to get off that never-ending torture ride, we had to be like, why are we on this ride to begin with? And it's because we bought the goddamn ticket, right? Like we chose that. And it's like, okay, well, let's step off and let's redefine how we can actually feel fulfilled, rather than constantly feeling depleted and like chasing the I'm not good enough or I want to be perfect mentality, because like that can only come with within, right? So it is so important that like when you want better for yourself, you got to be better to yourself. Like you can't expect to be better when you're being bad. You know what I'm saying? Like that just doesn't make sense.
Right. And so for someone, my question for you, because I know I actually have seen quite a few people that you've coached, I think maybe like a handful that have come from like lots of cardio, like over dieting, things like that. So like, what are some steps that you help your clients with, or steps that you even took to kind of let go of like that self-neglect, of that hardcoreness, but flip, or I should say, flip that hardcoreness into more nourishing than neglect.
I think it is really powerful to connect the dots, because a lot of the people that I work with are people like me, where it's like that type of mentality. We want to understand, we want to know the why. And it does come from a state of like hyperfixation, which is not necessarily the best thing. But what is very powerful is drawing how you feel to your actions. Okay. So, like, oh, I, you know, did 20,000 steps, and then the day after, my leg day sucked. Okay, well, yeah, it's because you overdid it the day before. You depleted. So therefore, when you wanted to do something else, your body couldn't give it, right? Or it's like how you feel based on, again, like the action that you took, I feel like is really big, because then you get to understand that if you know the problem is yourself, well, therefore, then you're the solution, right? And a lot of it goes from like this state of panic to the state of level-headedness by problem solving. And it's not like a one-to-one type of thing, and everyone has different needs and different ways that they reflect on themselves and need to push themselves in a different way that's productive. But a lot of the times you kind of hit this like rock bottom mentality, and they just feel so lost and so low and so broken, which is how I felt, that it's like, what do you have to fucking lose at that point? You know what I'm saying? Why not just try something different? Because like you already feel like shit. And it's not going to get any worse at this point. So why don't we do something that makes you feel better by like going back to the foundations and simplicity?
Yeah, but that's scary. Do I think like people find comfort in feeling like shit for so long?
Oh, for sure, because it's familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And change is like scary for sure. But like, yeah, like you said, it's like individualized. And I think like you have to like, I also like to connect the, like you said, connect the dots on like what got you here. Like what was in your, not like what got you here. Like obviously like walking all these steps and like not eating like a dick bag, right? But like mentally, what was that switch that all of a sudden you're like, I got to do this, this, and this. Like, where did it come from? I like finding the source of it because I think that that tells a really big story too. And this may be hard for people to hear, but a lot of these people that have that hyperfixation, that all or nothing mindset, the OCD, you guys need therapy. And I say that in like the nicest way. Yeah, no, I mean, I needed it. Ash needed it. Like, I mean, we all need it. And it's not a bad thing, but like, that's usually a lot of this where it comes from is like, I know for me, and we can like wrap this up after this, but like for me, when I was doing all of this, I had this thing in my head and I would tell myself this almost every single day. And this is so bad. It like makes me sad to think about this, but I used to say like, nobody's gonna hurt me worse than I'm gonna hurt myself. And that's why I became addicted to self-destructive behaviors, why I was an alcoholic, why I had anorexia, why I got into bodybuilding, because I wanted to feel my like cause my own pain, so to speak, versus somebody else causing it for me. And or situations that I perceived were causing me pain, right? Like I wanted to have that tangible thing. So that's what's got me into this mess. And that needed therapy for me to let go of all of the trauma that was driving the self pain that I wanted for myself. And now that I've healed that, oh my God, imagine that. Like my life is so much fucking better. I feel better. I respond better. I actually sleep at night. Like I have better mental health and my body looks fucking fantastic. And, you know, if I were to ever prep again, I would probably have a very, very successful prep, if you ask me.
Yeah, I feel like the idea of like, oh, I'm my own worst enemy is like that personification of your toxic traits becomes your best friend, right? So because it's your best friend, like you think that your best friend's going to keep you safe, but in reality, this one's like, holding your head underwater and you're like, oh, I'm a fish, I can breathe. When in reality, you're just fucking drowning. Like you're being waterboarded by your best friend. And it's like, that's probably not great. And like, I completely relate to what you were saying about like, that no one else is going to hurt me worse than I can hurt me. Because I've even said this to Eric, especially like early on, I was like, you have no idea what it's like to be like me. I was like, the thoughts that I have in my brain, especially before like I even started therapy, I would tell Eric, I was like, it is scary to be inside my head. And like when you are just like when you have that level of self-awareness to know that like your brain is just like a horror house, but yet you don't know how to fucking get out, like it is just so disturbing and scary. And then in reality, it's like again, it's your decision whether or not you want to get out of the horror house or not. And a lot of that is just understanding these like deep-rooted things that yes, a therapist is absolutely necessary in a lot of cases. And I wish more people and I wish myself went in earlier, but at the end of the day, it's like you. I just like there's just I wish to God that it would have ended sooner, but granted, like it ended when I chose to end it, and I feel like that should be the biggest takeaway when it comes to self-neglect. Like only you, because it is yourself, have the power to turn it into self-strength, self-servitude.
No, like you're 100% right. Like no one's gonna save you except for yourself. That's the reality of it. I don't know if we sit around and wait for it or we are too comfortable in our misery or what, but there will become a breaking point where you be like ass and you're ready to like take the next steps and stop pushing yourself. Because I mean, I know for me, like you said, like it's scary to live in your head, but like it's also scary for change too, and to start like even thinking a different than you normally do. But I think the biggest thing is we say all of this because like we want you guys to change. We want you to take care of yourself. We don't want you harming yourself in this way that is just poor neglect, and you may not see it as poor neglect. And I hope that like you can sit down and have that conversation with yourself. Like, are the things I'm doing neglectful? Like, like ask, like, does this make sense? Does it fit for me? Does this align with good health? Does this align with my life? Ask yourself those questions. And if, the answer is like, no, like this is not right, this is not it, then something has to change, because otherwise your pitcher will crack in fucking half and you trying to glue it back together, it will never be the same. It doesn't mean that it won't hold water again. It will, but like you are gonna have to, change a lot of things in order for you to be able to live a life if you have something that cracked your pitcher in the first place.
Agreed. I think a good takeaway message to kind of wrap things up is as female athletes, we have the power to set a new standard that values health, not just extreme effort and physical appearance. Like being hardcore can be about being disciplined and dedicated while also taking care of yourself because you are taking care of yourself, because your long-term success dictates that, not just in the sport of bodybuilding or any other sport that maybe you like to play. But your entire life, right? It requires both self-care and hard work. Again, the both should not exist without the other. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, like bragging about like being in so much pain or being so much hardcore because you're neglecting yourself isn't the move, right? It's harmful, right? So in order to understand like your power, you have to understand that true strength comes from the fact that you are doing this out of a place of self-love and self-gratitude, not self-mutilation. So let's flip that script because I'm tired of seeing women that have so much great potential of being like such strong female leaders end up burning themselves out.
No, you're right. You are absolutely fucking right. And that burnout, dude, is real.
It
It's
is.
fucking
It sucks. Sucks booty hole. Sucks booty
booty,
cheeks.
booty cheeks. But I hope you guys start nourishing yourself. And if you don't know how to nourish yourself, DM us. We'll help you for sure.
I thought you said nurse, and I was like, yes, I will nurse you with my
Oh, tapas.
come into my safety of my bosom.
Honestly, I probably would lay my head there right now because I need it. I need some comfort.
Some comfort. I love it. What are you thankful for? And we'll wrap this shindig up.
I am honestly just really thankful for Alex and my relationship for the last 5 years and everything we've been through and everything we've overcome and the love, support, and growth that we've had. He's been there since, I mean, he knew me before I had Hashimoto's. He went through a prep with me. We have a beautiful baby together. You know what? Lot of adjustments, and I'm just very happy that we've had the strength to work through a lot of that, improve our communication, have the love that we do, because it's really awesome when you can love someone so deeply, and unconditionally. And it's like I'm really grateful that I can feel that and be a part of that because some people don't ever experience that.
I love that it came full circle for you because like I know you guys like broke up because of how you were being bad to yourself. And so now that to see you being good to yourself and now your relationship is good, you have a beautiful baby boy. Like I love how that came full circle for you.
Yeah, no, it really, really did because we did break up because I was not taking care of myself at all. Like, and that Alex just left. He was not happy with it.
But I
What
love
do you?
that because now you guys, like I said, you have a, like a life together, right? Like that's like so important.
What are you grateful for? Tell me.
I feel like a silly one, but again, maybe not super silly. But see, I do that shit too. I'll be like, oh, this is silly. I have body work on Friday that I'm like looking forward to. And it's like, oh, I think that's silly. No, it's not. I like put my body through hell. And on Friday, I'm gonna like work out all the muscle kinks. So it's not silly. I'm thankful that I push myself hard and then also give back to myself just as hard.
That was like perfect for this podcast, to be honest.
I know it's like I was like gonna be like, oh, I'm so silly. I have a massage and I'm excited for that. Like, no, I am so pumped for my massage.
As you fucking should be.
I love it. All right, that's all I got, guys. Peace.
Adios.